This reading is from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, page 967 in the Church Bible. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made out of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children of Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Amen.
The theme I was given for today was work while we wait. Now, what sort of things do we wait for? Jesus, we wait for Jesus. Yes, David. Wait for presents. Wait for Santa. Christmas. Did someone say Easter? Yeah, that's very good. Yes, we wait for Easter as well, because that's a very important part of the whole story, isn't it? What else do we wait for? Buses. Yeah, wait for buses. I hate waiting for buses. What else? Jill, you've had something this year that you were waiting a long while for? Wedding, yeah. Sorry? What did someone say over there? Well, right, okay, waiting for someone to win the league. Yes. Waiting for a birthday. Waiting for holidays, yes. Waiting for a baby to be born. Yeah. And what do we do while we're waiting for all of these things? What do we do? Pardon? Pray. That is a very good one. That's what we should be doing, isn't it? Yes. But often, we'll start really worrying about some of the things while we're waiting. I mean, some of you young people, you wait for exams coming up. Do you worry about those exams? But what you should be doing is keeping calm, revising, and praying. And I was quite intrigued when I read the script that the juniors were doing. It started off with the harassed mum ticking everything off that she'd got to do for Christmas. And I remember when my daughter was in Sunday school, she did a very similar sketch, and she played the part of the harassed mum. And I said to her afterwards, I said, "Oh, you did that really well." And she said, "Oh, it was easy, mum. I just based it on you." Because I used to be so stressed, years ago, and everything had to be perfect, like they were saying. You know, I've spring cleaned the whole house, everything had to be clean, I cleaned out the oven, and there was a neighbour opposite, and we'd be talking to one another 3 o'clock in the morning, lending sellotape and out there cleaning windows, doing all sorts. And plus, we'd got to be up at six because children wake you up at six, don't they, on Christmas morning? Sorry, just a note here that two cars need moving. I think one of them belongs to my daughter, EN64FPU. Is that yours, Nicole? And the other one, Y269VBL. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I used to be so harassed. And I was worrying about all the wrong sorts of things. I thought everything had to be perfect for Christmas. And everything had to be clean. But how was Jesus born? Was he born into a clean, perfect environment? Where was he born? He was born in a dirty stable where animals were kept and where shepherds who, well, they were more or less looked on as outcasts in the society, they came to visit him. There were also wise men that came from a very long distance. And the wise men, they knew about the forthcoming birth of Jesus. They had studied scriptures, and they had, as well as studying the stars. Now, who wrote those scriptures? A couple of weeks ago, Amusa was talking about the prophets, some of the prophets. We had a reading from Isaiah. He was one of them. There were others like Jeremiah, Malachi, Micah. They all prophesied about the coming Messiah. But they lived and prophesied some 400, 700 years before Christ came. Isaiah, he was making that prophecy around 740 BC. And all over those centuries, they wrote those prophecies down, and they passed them down by word of mouth from one generation to another, so that by the time that Jesus came, they knew that the Messiah was being born. Some didn't accept that he was the Messiah and are still waiting for the Messiah to this day. But they worked hard at making sure that all the people knew that Christ was coming, and they made sure that it got passed down over all the centuries. And then there was John the Baptist. We had two readings about John the Baptist. When Mary went to visit Elizabeth, just after she had the visit from the angel, the baby, John, leapt in his mother's womb, because even before he was born, John recognized the Messiah. And then he was preaching, he started his ministry before Jesus, and he was preaching to all the people. John was, we think, part of a community called the Qumran community, who lived in the desert, and they lived a very simple, peaceful way of life. And that was, we think, near to the caves where many of the scrolls were found. So John started preaching about Christ. This is a voice of one who calls out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make the road straight for him. That's from Isaiah 40 verse 3. And John spoke about that when he was preaching. He told them that he was baptizing them with water to show that your hearts and lives have changed. But there is one coming after me who is greater than I am, whose sandals I am not good enough to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will come ready to clean the grain, separating the good grain from the chaff. So he was making it clear to everyone that he was preparing the way for Jesus. When I was preparing the service for today, everything seemed to fit very nicely. I was actually given the theme after the groups had chosen what they were going to do. And it was just so appropriate. And then I happened to go on Facebook, and I even found something on there that someone posted on there that also fitted very well. And it was based on 1 Corinthians 13. And it's a Christmas version of that. So I'd like to read that out to you. And then after that, Brian is going to come up and he'll give a reading of some of the verses from 1 Corinthians 13. If I decorate my house perfectly with plaid bows, strands of twinkling lights, and shiny balls, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another decorator. If I slave away in the kitchen, baking dozens of Christmas cookies, preparing gourmet meals, and arranging a beautifully adorned table at mealtime, but do not show love to my family, I'm just another cook. If I work at the soup kitchen, carol in the nursing home, and give all that I have to charity, but do not show love to my family, it profits me nothing. If I trim the spruce with shimmering angels and crocheted snowflakes, attend a myriad of holiday parties and sing in the choir's cantata, but do not focus on those I love the most, I have missed the point. In other words, love stops the cooking to hug a child. Love sets aside the decorating to kiss the spouse. Love is kind, though harried and tired. Love doesn't envy another's home that has coordinated Christmas china and table linens. Love doesn't yell at the kids to get out of the way, but is thankful that they are there to be in the way. Love doesn't give only to those who are able to give in return, but rejoices in giving to those who can't. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Video games will break. Pearl necklaces will be lost. Golf clubs will rust, but the gift of love will endure. And that was why Jesus came to earth to live among us and give his life for us, that we might know God's love for us. Now, Brian is going to come up and give the reading from Corinthians 13.
The reading is found on page 1154 of the Church Bible, and it's taken from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 10. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears.